There are many acts of worship that we are aware of, and we are very well aware of those acts of worship, what they are, and we are aware of those acts of worship that are done on prayer mats. We are aware of those acts of worship that are done during prostration. We are aware of those acts of worship which are done in Baytullah, the house of Allah. These are all ibadat, worship actions that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, and we are all aware of these, very aware of these. But there's one ibadah, such an ibadah, such an act of worship, the link is with society, with the environment, with ma'ashara, and we are very seldom aware of this ibadah. And in reality, the situation is such that the ibadah, the action that we are not aware of or not focused on, all those ibadah that I just mentioned before that, this is the ruh, the spirit, the root of all other ibadahs. A great ibadah, a great act of worship, but it's sad that the reason for our destruction today, or us being without any energy today, or etc., is because we have left this ibadah. We've left it, neglected it, etc. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I was sent for this ibadah. I was sent to demonstrate this act of worship, this excellent level of action. I didn't come for any other reason. Rather, I came to complete this act of worship, said Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What ibadah is that for which you don't need a prayer mat, you don't need to prostrate, you don't need the Kaaba? What ibadah is that? What act of worship that makes a person elevated to the heights? That ibadah is performed in ma'ashara, in society, amongst people. Not in the masjid, not in Baytullah. Rather, what is it? In our everyday life, society, our ma'ashara, our ma'amalat, within society we have to do this ibadah and demonstrate this ibadah. And that ibadah is husni akhlaq, is to possess and demonstrate a high level of conduct, social conduct and manners. And this is the ruh of all ibadah. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us that I was sent for this ibadah. I was sent to fulfill this ibadah, to complete this ibadah, which is to possess and demonstrate excellent manners and conduct. And we are lazy with regards to this. We are negligent, and there's a big loss for us because we don't pay attention to this ibadah. We don't think about this ibadah. We don't ponder about this, and we don't demonstrate this about it. We don't practice it. We don't even know what is akhlaq, what is good manners, good level of relationships with people, how to do it, how to practice. We can only practice if we have the ilm, but we don't consider it as worship. And the Quran hadith tell us that this is the greatest ibadah, husni akhlaq, to have excellent conduct. Salah, is the salah accepted if he has akhlaq in it? A person who is a worshipper, the zahid, the muttaqi, is that person who has akhlaq, good conduct and manners. Remember this. Otherwise, a person is empty box. He's just showing riya and pride and totally showing off and nothing else. Nothing else inside. That no ibadah has a value, no worship action has any weight unless akhlaq is within. And this is the status and the glory of a mu'min, a believer, akhlaq. The highest level of a mu'min, if you want to see the high level mu'min, if you have all the people in the world stood in a line and there's a Muslim stood there, then he'll be recognized by his akhlaq, his good conduct and manners. And his darajat will be elevated in the same way. Go to any society, whether yourself, on your own, alone. Alhamdulillah, but you should be unique and standing out. You should shine. That all the people of the different societies and qawms, they should be forced to accept and respect that person because of his conduct. As well, he's performing a great ibadah, great act of worship, which is the objective of a life for which we have been sent to this world. So all acts of worship depend on this worship action. To have good conduct, good manners, excellent manners. You understand the first point today? What's the first point? That we need to act out, we need to practice good akhlaq, we need to bring good conduct, social conduct, manners into our life. Otherwise, in this world there's loss, in the hereafter there's loss. A person who considers good conduct as a minor thing, then he will get the punishment proportionately due to his low level of akhlaq. This is a major point we need to understand. If we look at a statement in a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that a person who has the darajat of akhlaq, who possess akhlaq. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us the reward for having good conduct matters in the akhirah, in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will analyze and see those who prayed Qiyamul Layl, those who woke up in the night, Allah has kept aside for them high levels, high rewards. Siyamun Nahar, those who kept fasts, Allah Ta'ala has given them rewards. These are two great ibadahs, aren't they? We all run after this ibadah. We should run after this ibadah. Day and night, this is our pastime, isn't it? That praying, fasting, big ibadah, worship. Praying in the night, fasting in the day. And fasting is such a big ibadah. Allah Ta'ala has given a great reward, isn't it, for fasting? That Allah Ta'ala says, I myself will give personally the reward for fasting people. Subhanallah. In other words, this must be the highest reward. Allah Ta'ala says, I'll personally give the reward. So imagine the levels, the heights of the fasting people who respectfully fasted for the sake of Allah. Yes? Who cautiously and respectfully fasted. And Allah Ta'ala says, I will give the reward personally. Another hadith about the fasting people is that on one fast, the reward Allah Ta'ala gives, how much? The 70 years of struggle where a person, he's striving for one fast, 70 years of struggle. And for that amount of distance of the Jahannam will go far from that person. 70 years of distance from Jahannam for the person who fasts. And Qiyamul Layl, the other part is this, the Quran tells us, Allah Ta'ala says, Tatajafa Junubim. Allah Ta'ala says about those people who awake in the night, they toss and turn. They are those who remember Allah. They pray tahajjud, they wake up in the night and they pray tahajjud. And imagine the reward Allah will give to these people. Qurata'in. Allah says, the great reward, jaza'um bima kanu ya'malun. Allah says, what a great reward for those people who wake up in the night. Allah says, leave this, talking about the reward about for those who pray in the night, get up in the night, those who are desperate, tossing and turning on their beds. I need to get up, do the dhikr of Allah. Salah, Quran, tilawa, dhikr of Allah at tahajjud time. What else do we do at tahajjud time? Wake up. Can't do sins at that time, can you? There's no sin at tahajjud time, is there? You can't watch a program. You can't read a look at obscene things. It's that time, the middle of the night. Subhanallah. It's that time. Allah Ta'ala says that all khaba'is, all evil things are controlled. Yes, maybe after dhuhr you can sin, or 9 p.m. after fajr. You know, time, ghibat, backbiting, lying. But tahajjud time, subhanallah. Allah has given protection to the human beings at that time. What special angels there must be at that time surrounding. Because everything at that time is a waste of time, isn't it? I say this with the condition, every sister or brother wakes up at tahajjud time, then that person won't feel like speaking nonsense or doing wrong actions in the last part of the night. Unconsciously, I'll do some tasbih, do some dhikr, I'll remember Allah, I'll do dua, I'll do sajda. Isn't this the case, brothers? Have you got experience of this? Maybe we have that experience in Ramadan, but we should be experienced regularly. I spoke about this the other day, isn't it? Just a couple of days ago, Tuesday, alhamdulillah, I spoke in detail about tahajjud. So listen to that and understand how important is tahajjud. So how much we are wasting our time. So in this hadith now that I go back to, is that there are big rewards for tahajjud, isn't it? And for fasting people, Allah's kept, there's so massive rewards for them. But Allah says, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that that person who has good akhlaq, Allahu Akbar, Allah is great. On the day of judgment, all of these rewards that we attain for fasting, Allah says, for those people who fast and do tahajjud salah in the night, those levels and rewards, the person who has a husni akhlaq, he will get more over than those rewards. Allahu Akbar. He will attain those rewards. So is he not higher? The person with akhlaq? Look at this. So there are two types of people now divided. One are those who do ibadah, perform worship physically, but they don't go towards akhlaq. Good conduct, subhanAllah. They are the second, are those people who have ibadah, but they elevate their akhlaq. These are the two groupings. Two groupings. So you, mashallah, brothers who work hard and make effort, you sacrifice your time, your appearance, your libas, walking, talking, dhikr, coming morning, evening. MashaAllah has given you fadl, His grace in this world, in this day and age, that we should be proud of what we are doing. But even then, we need to strengthen our path. The reason for me to speak is, don't look left and right and think you're the best and come off tracks. Despite working so hard, if we slip and fall, and fail, then what's a waste of time? Allah's making us do mujahidah, striving, working hard, dhikr, controlling the sins, tazkiyah sheets, improving ourselves, trying to reform ourselves. We work hard, we do dhikr, we go to the shaykh, we change our parents, our seerah, our lifestyle. This is the great fadl of Allah. But if the shaitan comes and makes us go off track, then we failed. We've wasted our time. From hundreds of thousands, very few people will be, who say, oh, okay, let's forget it now. Let's change our life and improve ourselves. Are there people who do that today? MashaAllah, you are sitting here. You are sitting here. You've decided to make an improvement. And you're not proud. You haven't got takabbur. You're doing it for this reason. Because it's our duty. We need to practice. Otherwise, we will waste our time. And nafs makes us go towards wrong. And alhamdulillah, I have yaqeen on this jamaat that nobody here thinks he's better than anyone else. I have yaqeen. The question doesn't rise. Afdal, how can we think we're better than us and then we consider ourselves low compared to others? I'm daleel, I'm wretched, I'm worse than others, and I need to improve myself. Otherwise, takabbur won't make us practice good things. I say with yaqeen, those who have adopted this path of tazkiyah will never consider themselves better than others. Yes? So he will consider that he's a seed. He's a seed and compared to nothing. That, you know, the channa seed, inside there's nothing. And mashallah, but its strength is there. Its vitality is there. And this is the example of a vegetable, isn't it? Yes, but when you knock it together, it makes a lot of noise. But those people who do dhikr, who follow sunnah, shara, their parents, their seerah, their lifestyle, they're working hard in this day and age, in this environment, in this society, and they're trying to adopt a good path, a pure path, that is the great fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the great, great mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah ta'ala says that you have demoted yourself and you don't feel that you're doing anything good. You don't think you're better than other people. And Allah ta'ala has given great rewards that as soon as a person will die, he will see that how much reward I'm getting for the sunnah I was practicing by wearing the turban, the imamah, how Allah and His Rasul were so proud and happy of me. How he'll get the root of death. How, for example, a person saw kashf. He saw a vision. It was the walis of Allah. They experienced kashf. The Naqshbandi Jamaat is a unique group of people. The Naqshbandi Silsila. So there's a wali of Allah and Naqshbandi Sheikh. He saw kashf. A vision. That Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looks at that Jamaat. Those people wearing the imamah. They had the full beards. Wallah. He said that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ushered to his sahab and said, this is my Jamaat. This is my group. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. And we feel ashamed of wearing this libas. Is this the day and age of being ashamed? Okay, if you're ashamed, you'll lose out. The big kashf of a great wali of Allah, Silsila Naqshbandiya, Shaykh who saw this kashf. He said, I saw myself, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Some things Allah Ta'ala shares with the awliya Allah so that they can tell their students for encouragement. That he said, I saw myself in the night, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, ushered to his sahaba, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave good news, glad tidings, in tafsir upon these things, commentary upon these things. On everything, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given good news. Those people adopt the right path. So those who adopt the sunnah, then good news for those people, massive news. All the sahaba stood there in this wali's kashf. And Hazrat Fadl Ali Qureshi, I'll tell you one of his announcements about the sunnah. He went to Deoband, Hazrat Fadl Ali Qureshi, Qari Tayyib Sahib, rahmatullah. This was his time, his day and age. And Hazrat Fadl Ali Qureshi, our grandfather Sheikh, alhamdulillah, he went on a journey and he went to Deoband. And when he went to Deoband, then a lot of people said, oh, which fakir has come? Who is this wali of Allah who's come from the people of Deoband? They were looking, because India and Pakistan was one at that time. They were all equal, weren't they? It was no partition. So when they went and saw Hazrat Fazal Qureshi, when he stopped at Qari Tayyib's masjid, where he would give dars. So he said, who is this individual who's come? Who is this personality? And he said, in a unique thing, that he had prayed Salah. He said, Mawlana, listen to me. He said, yes. He said that, do you not wear imamah here? Is this Deoband? Is this a masjid in Deoband? And this is written in the Malfuzat of Hazrat Fadl Ali Quraysh. And Hazrat Qari Tayyib, he went silent. That, oh, yes, he's right. Who is this person who's come and told us this? After that day, so much practice that they wrapped this safa, the imam, around the cap and put it on the jai namaz, that whoever would come, he would put the imam on and then lead the salah. Great Jamaat of the Deoband, our Qabirin, our pious forefathers. So in the night when he went to sleep in that same masjid, he was Qiyam. And he saw Kashf, Hazrat Fazal Ali Qureshi, rahmatullah, our grandfather Sheikh. And he saw that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had come with the whole Sahaba, the Jamaat of the Sahaba had come. He saw this in his Kashf. And Rasulullah came to the Sahaba and all the Qabrin, our Mashaikh, and Hazrat Qasim, Nanotvi Sahab, all the great Mashaikh, they were stood in a line. They were stood in line. And Rasulullah called them. Hazrat Fazal Ali Qureshi, Rasulullah said, Qureshi, come here. He called him. They come here, Fazal Ali Qureshi, come here. And he said, I was present straight away at your service, O Rasulullah. He said, do you see who are these people? He said that I will introduce you to these people. These are those people who did ahya of my sunnah, who revived my sunnah. This is how much qadar of value the Prophet has for those people who revive his sunnah. So in this mahal, tight mahal, if you revive the sunnah, man ahyaya sunnati inda fasad al-ummati, someone who's not worried about the mahal, the environment, the surroundings, and alhamdulillah, he doesn't have pride that I'm better than others, I've got imam, I'm better. No, no. He's a foolish person who thinks this, who thinks he's better than others when he's practicing sunnah. The ittiba of the sunnah, it forces a person to be ajiz, humble servant. Lower yourself. Consider yourself worse than other people. Never compare yourself to other people and think you're better. Yes, rather even in tabligh, if someone says, the Hazrat, wear this, that if a person's doing tabligh, he's capable of doing tabligh, don't order others. Hazrat says, wait, mama, you have to do this. No, this is not from amongst us. We don't force people. The Sufis, not everyone has ijazah to do tabligh. There's ijazah, permission you have to get from your sheikh. And if a person forces others and looks down at them and tells them, oh, you're not practicing sunnah, I'm following sunnah, he's a disrespectful individual. But tamiz, he can never imagine that the sheikh will say to his jamaat that go and be forceful and disrespectful to others and look down at them. Tabligh, propagation of Islam, is a great honor to do that. And only that person can do tabligh, only those Sufis get ijazah if the sheikh tells that person to do tabligh. Not everywhere there's a preparation, and our Sufis, they are told to do their duties accordingly to their status and their understanding. Anyway, so this is a great thing, my friends, that a maqam Allah Ta'ala has given to a person. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying that this is my jamaat. The Bolton people, they're my jamaat. The Manchester brothers are my jamaat. The brothers in London are my jamaat. The arrow on the bullseye, what, how we fight? We don't know, but this is a great statement. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in his eyes, one sunnah, and the value of the sunnah, we can imagine how great is the, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is proud with his sahaba, and he ushered to his sahaba that this is my jamaat. So the person, when he dies, will he not get the place in the akhirah of reward? Tell me, that will you pray Jummah tomorrow with the imamas on your heads? Will you? Subhanallah. So the effect of these two words, even now we're ashamed. Even now we're ashamed. Especially when there's a majlis here where the sunnah is revived. I will request with adab and manners that at least for a few moments or hours wear imamah. What difference does it make? Then when you leave, you can take it off. Allah Ta'ala will like this adab as well. That at least he has some recognition and modesty and shame. That so many people are sat here and they're practicing deen, Quran, hadith. Allah Ta'ala swears. Allah Ta'ala, with the honor, the Quran has sworn. لِأُمْرِكَ Oh my Habib, I swear by your age. I swear by your city. I swear by your hair. Allah, Rasulullah, Allah Ta'ala swears by his the greatness. That night, Allah is swearing by the night in the Quran. And that Quran we kiss and we read and recite. Tarawih, day and night we recite it, we look at it, we kiss it. It's our life, isn't it, Quran? In the Quran, in every page, Allah swears by the age of the Prophet, by his life, where he put his feet, blessed feet. Allah swore by the dust where the blessed feet trod, by the honey, by everything of that was belonging to the Prophet. Allah swore by that. So imagine, by swearing that, Allah also said this, that, oh fortunate people, this is a great rank and status you have. Imitate the Prophet Muhammad and you'll be the most successful of people. Do his naqal, you'll be successful. Imitate him, you'll be successful. Don't consider his sunnah as minor. His way of life is the greatest way of life. Basummum bukmun umyum fahum la yarjun. Allah says, deaf, dumb and blind. They sealed their hearts. The women are deaf, dumb and blind. The men are deaf, dumb and blind. Their eyes are sealed. Their mouths are sealed. Their ears are sealed. They will not understand. You can put them in any masjid. Stand them in front of the Kaaba. Stand them in front of Rawda Mubarak Madina. Summum bukmun umyun. They have padlocked their hearts and minds and eyes and ears. A person in Masjid Nabwi is not affected. In front of Kaaba is not affected. He doesn't understand what's deen. He doesn't listen to the words of an imam or the lecture or a speech. He doesn't change his life. He doesn't change through dhikr. Then consider that this verse was revealed for that person, that Allah Ta'ala has padlocked your hearts because you reject the sunnah. That's it. The only one thing you will understand, when you die at the time of death and then you'll be weak and the angels will beat you and drag you, then you'll understand, oh Allah, send me back to the world. I'll practice the sunnah all my life. Allah will say, it's too late now, my friend. It's too late. My brothers, so husne khalq, going back to the hadith, Rasulullah has given bayan, there are two groups of people. One of those whose akhlaq is great, manners is great, conduct is great. Yes, and those are the others who are proud of their worship.
salah, fasting, their sujood. And they're the others who don't know about akhlaq. Why don't they know about akhlaq? That without wudu, without prayer mat, will you say, I'll pray salah? Can you pray salah without wudu? No. So if you don't have akhlaq, if you don't pay attention to akhlaq, and if you don't want to learn it, then how will akhlaq come? If you say, oh, I've got akhlaq, good conduct, good manners, then are you doing ibadah to bring about akhlaq? Isn't it? So a person, if you're praying on the prayer mat, or if you do wudu, then people accept that you're praying, isn't it? So if you don't do the ibadah to inculcate and instill and develop akhlaq, then how can you say you've got akhlaq? Another hadith I've remembered that I can explain this topic to you more. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you enjoy what I'm saying? You enjoy? Why are you enjoying? Because this is the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ we're talking about. Yes, the Prophet ﷺ sunnah, his blessed habits, his manners, his safat, his qualities, his characteristics. Who speaks about this? Allah. Allah speaks about these things. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا. Imagine the Prophet ﷺ, Allah saying, me, I Allah am sending the durood on the Nabi, my Nabi. And angels you send, I know you Muslims, you send as well. Imagine his status. Allah saying to his angels, to all the Muslimin that start doing this action of Muslimin, recite Durood Sharif, because me, Allah, Rabbul Universe, also is sending Durood on him. Can you imagine how great is this action? And we're talking about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam now. Say subhanallah, how much enjoyment we should feel in our hearts that Allah's karama and mercy. Do you understand now how much Allah's mercy on us? That if we were at home now, we'd be wasting our time. You'd be talking rubbish now at home, wasting time at home. Someone's phone would come. Oh, did you hear this? Oh, did you speak this? 1 hour would have passed on the phone with so much ease on the phone. And did this hour, an hour in Allah's house, and you could eat rasmalai, cold ice cream, and eating cold faluda, Hamza's faluda, cold, ice cold faluda. We're getting more satisfaction here in the house of Allah than eating faluda, ice cream, and rasmalai. Why? Because we're talking about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for whom Allah Ta'ala created the universe, and mashallah, he was centered in Allah's beloved world. So we're sat here, all the brothers, we're not talking about money, dunya, I don't know you, you don't know me, we're all sitting with iman in the masjid. Oh, let's talk about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Isn't this Eid Mulad al-Nabi? This is called Eid Mulad al-Nabi, which is every Thursday night here, mashallah. Isn't it here? Of course it is. Yeah, we recite Naad sometimes, we recite Durood, and we say, oh, 1 year wait for Milad al-Nabi, and then speak nonsense at that time. We don't speak about beneficial things at that time. Shouldn't we come to this gathering every week? Will you come regularly? You promise? This is what we talk about here. We don't talk about other wasteful time, jack and ori stories, do we? We talk about useful things here, useful things. So, there was a blessed habit of the Prophet ﷺ, and I'm saying this so that we should also practice on this. So listen to the blessed habit. Sunnah is a blessed habit. Husne khulq, about bringing in the habit of good conduct and manners, because we don't have this today in our lives. So how do we do it? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said that if any Muslim brother, and this is ma'ashara now to our society, everyday's life that we can do, everyday life in society amongst people, know, this is about the ibadah, the worship of husne khulq, good manners. That when a Muslim brother, colleague, fellow man, when he comes to another person, a Muslim, and he presents the mistake he's made, say subhanallah, subhanallah. Do you understand Urdu what I'm saying? That when a Muslim, like me, for example me, if I come to you, if I did a wrong to you, if I wronged you, I was angry with you, disrespected you, abused you at the shop, outside, on the street, to someone maybe I don't know, you're going in the car, and even in the car you can disrespect someone, someone's passing you in the car, you disrespect him, abuse him or her, now comes the ibadah of akhlaq. Then what is the reward we'll get? That the waking up in the night and the fasting in the day will get thawab for this action that I'm about to tell you. Fasting in the day and praying in the night. What is the reward? What's the action? So the condition is that if a brother comes to you, said, look, I made a mistake, your wife, your children, you make mistake, the husband, the wife, the children, all of us make mistakes. So straight away we need to do this ibadah, this action, and we need to get this thawab that the Prophet ﷺ explained. Just after thawab, we run. Because I want the thawab for the salah, just pray. Tahajjud salah, we do dua tola. I want thawab. So this is also ibadah, worship. That when this time comes, opportunity, then straight away try to attain the thawab. I'll get great thawab for this action. So what should we do? We made a mistake. we've wronged somebody, Rasulullah said, if you commit a mistake against someone else, then go to that person and say, look, when you do something wrong against somebody else, then don't harbor that in your heart. Say to that other person, that brother, sister, I've made a mistake. Wife comes to husband, I've done wrong to your husband, or my wife, I've made a mistake. Or with my brother, I've made a mistake. Or with my relative, or with my khala, or with my auntie, isn't it? We should accept our mistake. So what should we do? Sunnah is coming and we want to get reward. Then go to that person that you wronged, that you committed excess against. Say, I'm sorry, I was angry, I said something wrong. Don't look, will he slap you, swear it to you, push you? No, you have to earn the thawab now, because you committed a wrong. So don't look, is it cold water, hot water? We have to do wudu. I'm coming from home and the boiler, the water is now cold. So will you leave? Will you do wudu? You have to do wudu. Oh, it's cold. But you have to do wudu, isn't it? But you have to pray. But this happened to me in the masjid once. It happened once, I did wudu in this masjid once. By chance, the taps at home were malfunctioning. So I had to do wudu in the masjid. So brothers, it happens sometimes. Big masjid, and it can happen. But what do we do? That Allah Ta'ala wanted to give me thawab, the boiler broke down. Oh, and it was so, to do wudu, couldn't leave the salah, could we? You have to do it. So think like this. So now ibadah is coming. So if you're going to get ridiculed or abused by the person that you abused first, doesn't matter. Because now we've woken up, I wronged that person, I committed a mistake. My friend, you go to the shopkeeper. Why did I have to disrespect this shopkeeper when I went there? I ridiculed, you told me the price. Why was I arrogant? I can go to another meat shop. Who are you to tell me? You see this many times, oh, it's expensive, the price of the meat or vegetables. Why are you disrespecting that person? Then you'll go back again. Oh, why have you come back? Why have you come back? He'll say this to you because you abused that person, the shopkeeper. What do you say to him now? You present your wrong action and your status will be elevated high. No prayer mat, no ibadah, no kaaba, nothing. But imagine how high your level is going to the highest, and the maqam you will get, you're getting the same maqam that you prayed tahajjud that night, or you fasted during the day, you're getting greater or the same of that as that reward. So that, mashallah, the Sufis understand, why am I doing this action? So I'll explain to you further when I explain in detail. Now, so the second thing, the person you've gone to, then akhlaq says that, what is your akhlaq? Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. So you've come now, you're owning up to your mistake, ask for forgiveness. So what's your akhlaq? The person who's come to you now to seek forgiveness, the Prophet ﷺ, the host who the person has come to ask for forgiveness, what should he do? How should he reply to that request? Subhanallah. So two types of people you'll get. Now his akhlaq, if he's a good person, what will he do? And if he's a monkey, what will he do? Yeah. So I'll tell you the difference. Allah's Nabi ﷺ said, what should you do? If someone comes to you, a servant of Allah, and he is seeking forgiveness from you, then your akhlaq should be such that you should accept his request and forgive that person. Say subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. What a great ibadah. I say that this is such a great act of worship that thousands of arguments in society will finish. Murders will be prevented. And murders upon murders will be prevented. Even the jahil, they murder, then they murder, then the third murder. There's a line of murders. Line. Maashara, we should understand this one akhlaq khutbah. The person who comes to see forgiveness, and the person, the host, who accepts the request that, yes, I forgive you, don't worry, end of story. And both of them are so high in the eyes of Allah if this happens. But the person who doesn't accept the request and breaks the akhlaq, then the rewards, now we'll understand what a big sin day and night we do. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's akhlaq sunnah, if we don't follow it, we don't know how big a sin we are committing. We don't know. We don't realize that breaking the laws and principles of akhlaq, how should I behave with a person who's seeking forgiveness from me? The whole life hinges on this success. And I'm giving you one example. One example. Allah knows best that how many sins have we committed in a day on the platform of akhlaq, and we don't understand the importance of akhlaq. This is a permanent zahir. I've shown to you, I've announced to you how bad is this example. So then, what happens then is that he says that, no, I'm not going to accept your request, and he turns his face away. This is a big test that when someone comes and asks you forgiveness, and the person who's then arrogant and stubborn, and he doesn't forgive, then there are two types of people. One is the person who gives forgiveness. Only he will accept the forgiveness request if his akhlaq is high. The person whose akhlaq is high, he will request, he will accept the request, but he will forgive that person. And only that person will go and ask for forgiveness if his akhlaq is high. The person who has no akhlaq will never go and ask for forgiveness. Never. Never will he go. So the person who rejects, no, I don't forgive, go away from here. And he turns his face, okay, fine, forget it, don't ask me. Oh, I know what you're saying, I know where you're coming from. Allah's Nabi says that this person is committing a big sin, you've not accepted the request for forgiveness, you've turned your face away, you're stubborn. That person will be assigned such a big sin. That person came with good manners and asked you for forgiveness, and you did not accept his sorrow and his request and his pleading for forgiveness, then you are committing such a big sin, just like you are oppressing, murdering, destroying someone. After that, the zalim excess, you'll be given the same punishment as those people. Allahu Akbar. So to that extent, why is that person getting that sin? Because his akhlaq was spoiled. If his akhlaq was good, then with happiness he'd have forgiven that person with happiness. So you see the difference? Good akhlaq, a person, and a person with bad akhlaq. Look at the difference. The person with bad akhlaq will never forgive the person, and person with good akhlaq will always accept the request. And the person who doesn't forgive, we've seen one punishment, and the second punishment is that Allah says that he'll become a collection of sins, majmu'a of sins, because he's not forgiving that person, so he'll have kina in his heart. Malice and hatred. You understand kina? In his heart he will harbor the evil thoughts against that person. Then another sin will come. Ghibat will come. Backbiting. Then he will cry, look at that person, he did this against me. Shall I tell you what happened? He was like this and he did wrong to me. And you see this in Mashallah. You go and spread the bad news. And he's telling X and Y and Z. Why should I accept? You see what he did to me? He did dhulam to me. He oppressed me. Why? Because he got bad akhlaq. Bad manners. And he'll be given a punishment that you did not request. Accept the request for forgiveness. Then you start to multiply. Kina, hatred, malice, hasad, envy, ghibat, and you become then the majma of sin. When the person with bad akhlaq dies, then he's thrown into the bottommost pit of Jahannam, of hellfire. And that person will do this who doesn't have good akhlaq, poor man. So I ask you a question now. That now, who does the ibadah to improve akhlaq? Put your hands up if you do the ibadah of akhlaq. Just a question. Put your hands up. There are many who pray salah, you come to fajr, isha, you pray tahajjud. But brothers, what about ibadah to improve akhlaq? Do we do it? Is this not ibadah? To have good akhlaq? So there's a prayer mat to improve akhlaq. There's a prostration to improve akhlaq. There's a qibla we have to turn to improve akhlaq. A unique point I'm teaching to the Sufis today. Listen carefully to this point, what I'm teaching you. There's a prayer to improve akhlaq. There's an action we have to do to improve akhlaq. There's a prayer mat to improve akhlaq. There's a sajda to improve akhlaq. There's a qibla, a baytullah to improve akhlaq. What's the prayer mat? To improve akhlaq, the company of the walis of Allah. What's the prostration? Is dhikr Allah. And what is the Kaaba? It is the heart of Abdullah. Subhanallah. These are the three factors that will improve the akhlaq of a human being. A person who wants to do worship to improve his akhlaq, most definitely he will have to go to the company of a wali Allah. He cannot learn akhlaq without the wali Allah. And the person who learns akhlaq, good manners, who want to improve their akhlaq, they know it's essential to have the sohbat of the wali Allah, company of a teacher, or to have a teacher of a, as a wali Allah. Secondly, to do dhikr of Allah in abundance, as much as possible, much as possible. Third factor is, subhanallah, is what? What do we have to rectify from these actions? Allah, go to the wali Allah. Why do we do that? Why do we do dhikr of Allah? Remember Allah. What's the objective? The objective is what? Is improvement. Kaaba. We pray salah, we pray towards the Kaaba. If you don't face the Kaaba, there's no salah. In the same way, what is the Kaaba? The focal point. Why do we go to the wali Allah? Why do we do dhikr Allah? Because the focal headquarters, the Kaaba of the mu'min, is the heart of Abdullah. Our heart, our piece of flesh. Rasulullah said, if your heart is correct, then everything is correct. If your heart is spoiled, everything is spoiled. So the direction of your Kaaba, if it's correct, if you put the compass in the right direction, then all your salahs will be accepted, because your direction was towards Kaaba. So, doesn't matter how many verses you recite, Yasin, Rahman, Quran, 10 Juz, 10 Quran, morning till night, your feet are swollen in praying, but if the direction of your ibadah, sincerity is not towards your heart, it's not towards the Kaaba, no, you prayed salah, sujood, but is your salah accepted? In the same way, if you go to the wali Allah, and you learn dhikr of Allah, but your heart is not focused, your heart is not made and trained and improved, then your akhlaq will not improve. If you want to improve your akhlaq, then go to the company of a wali of Allah. If you want to improve your akhlaq, then the dhikr is prescribed, you do it daily. When you do both these things, then Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given a guarantee that your heart will start to become made. Allahu Akbar. And when your heart becomes made, then in your heart is the akhlaq. When the heart is made, then what comes into the heart? Subhanallah. What nur comes into the heart? MashaAllah. Sibghatallah. The Quran has said, ma ahsan. What nur comes into the heart when a person does dhikr of Allah? When he goes to the wali Allah person, then Allah's color. And Allah Ta'ala is free from colors and physical effects. So what color comes into the heart? The color of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His deen, his ways, his lifestyle will then come into the heart of that person. The more a person takes the company of the wali Allah, the more a person does the dhikr of Allah, then the sunnah will come into that person's life. I tell you from experience. Experience. There are thieves, bandits, people with poor akhlaq, murderers, zanis, zalims, oppressors, people who consume other people's wealth. But when they come into this path, they become an example to the people of the world that they become walis of Allah. They leave their crimes. History tells us this. History. Akhlaq can never come unless a person doesn't do these two actions. So those who do these two actions, good news for those people that they can now focus towards the akhlaq, the sheet system. The tazkiyah system, the fourth sheet, the sins, that's the essence of this tazkiyah program. If your sheets are improving and you're doing it with honesty, don't lie and put ticks. If you are doing a wrong, I'll tell you the truth now. Don't lie on your sheets. Rather keep it weighty. If you're doubtful, maybe I sinned, then don't say maybe, put the cross there. That I did sin, because this is directly linked to Allah. You are strengthening your connection with Allah in this tazkiyah rectification program. You're strengthening your link with Allah. Allah, I want to bear myself in front of you. I'm working hard. If I'm unsuccessful, I say, Sa'im Mashkura, that I will be there to witness that you tried your best. That's what Allah Ta'ala wants. For us to try this. Don't lie. Don't commit fraud. Hazrat Sahib's going to see my sheets. He's going to see I did keep it. If it takes 1 year to be removed. And don't select sins yourself. Unless the Shaykh tells you what sin to select, then you don't select the sin yourself. Yes? That unless your Shaykh tells you, oh, shall I do 5 sins, 3 or 2? Don't do that yourself. If the Shaykh tells you to add another sin, he prescribes to you, then add that sin to your list. Don't try to run before you can walk. Yes, it might take 2-3 years to rectify yourself. And everyone do this. Afterwards you'll feel pain. It's been 2-3 weeks. I sent the sheet 3 weeks. And khabardar, don't be disrespectful. Yes? That what does this mean? Wait for the prayer. Even if it takes 6 months, 2 months, a year. Must be a reason. Yes? That you send your sheets to the Shaykh. After that, don't be rude. That we teach adab and you're being bad. Disrespectful. I don't understand this. I didn't never understand this. That why hasn't Shaykh Saab replied to me? I'm not getting the feedback. This is not happening. La hawla wa la quwwata. Disrespectful people. Jahil people don't do these actions. Disrespectful. This is the place of adab. Teaching of adab. Be grateful. A person's explaining to you, giving you his time and helping you. If the feedback's not coming, wait. There's a reason. 3 months, 4 months, 2 months, whenever it comes. If it doesn't come, fine. Then carry on doing what you're doing. Daily. You've done your job. Do you understand what I'm saying? You've done your duty. Now wait with sabr. And every person should follow this sheets program. This is the greatest system Allah has given. That your sins will be removed and your akhlaq will improve. It will improve. So, to summarize, the message of today, today's bayan was about what? That we need to improve our akhlaq. Correct our akhlaq. Make our manners, conduct, social conduct better, improve it. And to do that, what do we need to do? We need to have company with our Shaykh, make a connection with the teacher. I'm not saying that come to me physically or go to him. I'm not giving a name. I'm saying Shaykh, wherever your heart feels that this person is Shaykh, make that person the Shaykh. Yes, if he is a Shaykh. That they say, isn't it, the girl that you like, marry her. Why are you forced to marry someone else if you don't like the girl? Say, no, marry her. Will you get nikah? You're forcing. After some days, there'll be divorce and then you'll go to someone else. She'll be separate, you'll be separate. So it's better, marry with that woman, the woman that you prefer. So there's no argument. But some days ago, you get married and the children are born. I'm going to divorce you. I don't like you. I'm not with you. You're not with you. You see these arguments. The reason is that we have not kept the compatibility between the boy and the girl. Will I be able to live with this husband? Or the husband says, can I live with this wife? Is there understanding, mutuality? No, by force, we quickly put them together. So then we see the hal, what happens after. In the same way, with regards to a Shaykh, don't rush. If the wali Allah comes, everyone's doing bayat, then you stand up and do bayat, and afterwards you don't feel like going towards him. Is this bayat? pledging allegiance. If you want to be bayah to the sheikh, sit in his company, listen to him, have his company. Where your heart feels, yes, he's the sheikh, then straightway present yourself before shaitan comes and say, Hazrat, give me bayah, give me the your connection, and present yourself. Subhanallah. Without this, I tell you, akhlaq can never improve. All of the good effects is in this ibadah of having a sheikh. There are three factors I told you. The person who wants to improve his akhlaq, sister, brother, woman, man, has to do these actions. Otherwise, takabbur will be there. Pride, fakhr, and shaitaniyat, and nothing with Allah Ta'ala look at your actions with happiness. No. So if this person did not work hard on his akhlaq, Allah will say. And then if we think that our akhlaq will automatically improve, he is the biggest monkey and ape. He doesn't have wisdom and naql. Nothing has happened in life ever automatically. Nothing has ever happened automatically. Not even a car has been made that you just sit in it and it goes. To this then, we've got the petrol being replaced by electric cars and etc. But I don't consider that there'll be a car that you just sit and don't say nothing, don't do nothing. Oh, going masjid, and you think in your brain, I want to go to the masjid, and it just turns and goes to masjid. Has any car been manufactured like that? No. Some sort of instruction has to be given. If you improve your akhlaq, if you, me, want to improve our akhlaq, then get up. Do something physically to improve the akhlaq, and then it will happen. Will we do this? Inshallah. You don't understand what I'm saying? Is it difficult? The hardest place is Jahannam, for which Allah Ta'ala has made us hear all these words and has made me speak these words. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.